again, everybody. This is Melanie, and welcome back to the Nursing School Week by Week podcast. This is episode number 5, and today we'll be talking about the head-to-toe physical assessment. Every week, I go in depth into the main topic you'll be learning about in nursing school for that week, and this time, it's the physical assessment. Doing a head-to-toe assessment is something you'll be doing day in and day out for the rest of your nursing career. So let's learn how to do it quickly and efficiently. First, I'm going to go over some highly testable information, and then I'm going to bring you along with me as I give my wonderful fiancé a physical assessment. Now, nurses complete an assessment so we can gather both subjective and objective data, make our nursing diagnoses, and then come up with a care plan. You need to know the difference between subjective data and objective data. Subjective data are things that the patient states. The way I remember this is because the S in subjective goes with the S in states. For the patient states subjective data. This can be symptoms like my head hurts or I feel dizzy. Objective data are things the nurse actually observes. So think O for objective goes with O for observes. Objective data are things like the patient has a fever, or the patient just vomited right in front of me. All right, so what tools do you need to do a physical assessment? You'll need a stethoscope and a pen light. You'll use the stethoscope to listen to heart sounds, lung sounds, and vowel sounds. You'll use the pen light to check the pupils. Now, there are usually two sides to your stethoscope. The larger side is the diaphragm, and the smaller side is the bell. You want to use your diaphragm when you're listening to high-pitched sounds, like breath sounds, normal heart sounds, and bowel sounds. You want to use the bell when you're listening to low-pitched sounds, like heart murmurs. You're going to be assessing 9 body systems. Those systems are neuro, H-E-E-N-T. This is an acronym that stands for head, eyes, ears, nose, and throat. Once again, that's H-E-E-N-T. You'll also be assessing the cardiovascular system, respiratory, gastrointestinal, genitourinary, skin, mobility, and psychosocial. And in each system, you'll do things in a specific order. You're going to inspect first. This means you'll look with your eyes. Then you'll palpate with your hands. And then you'll auscultate or listen with your stethoscope. Now there's one exception to this order. When you're examining the abdomen, you'll look, then listen, and then palpate last. This is because we want to listen to undisturbed bowel sounds. And if we palpated before listening, we'd be moving things around with our hands. Also, we always want to save the more painful procedure for last, and palpating could be painful if someone already has abdominal pain. Auscultating before palpating at least allows us to get that valuable information before they're in pain and maybe refuse to just cooperate anymore. All right, so I'm going to take you with me in just a minute so you can listen to me do a physical assessment on my fiance, but I want to check your understanding. So the way this works is I'm going to give you a multiple choice question, and then I'll pause while you try to answer it. All right, number 1. Which of these is an example of objective data? A, the patient is dizzy. B, the patient has high blood pressure. C, the patient is in pain. Or D, the patient tells you they had diarrhea before they got to the hospital. Once again, which of these is an example of objective data? A, the patient is dizzy. B, patient has high blood pressure. C, the patient is in pain. Or D, the patient tells you they had diarrhea before they got to the hospital. All right, if you answered B, the patient has high blood pressure, then you are correct. That is an example of objective data because it's something that you, the nurse, actually observed. The other examples, the patient is dizzy and in pain or had diarrhea before coming to the hospital, those are all things the patient stated, so those would be subjective data. All right, the next one. When would you use the bell of your stethoscope? A, when listening to bowel sounds. B, when listening to breath sounds. C, when listening to normal heart sounds. Or D, when listening for heart murmurs. Once again, when would you use the bell of your stethoscope? A, when listening to bowel sounds. B, when listening to breath sounds. C, when listening to normal heart sounds. Or D, when listening for heart murmurs. And the correct answer is D, when listening for heart murmurs. Because heart murmurs make low pitch sounds, and the bell of your stethoscope will pick those up a lot more clearly than the diaphragm. All right, if you got both of those right, good job. If not, that's okay. Better to get it wrong here than on your test. All right, so now I'm going to take you along with me to give my sweet fiancé a physical assessment. Hopefully he won't be too silly. My school doesn't include taking vital signs as part of the physical assessment, but just assumes that you've already taken them. So we're going to assume that someone's already taken his temperature, pulse, respirations, and blood pressure. To make your assessment as efficient as possible, so you want to be inspecting the skin the whole time. You are also constantly assessing the patient's level of consciousness and their ability to follow commands. All right, so I go into the patient's room and I'm already assessing the environment. What machines do they have in the room? Is there an odd smell? What does the patient look like? Good morning. How are you doing?
Thanks for waking me up. Good morning.
My name is Melanie, and I'm going to be your nurse today. I need to do a head-to-toe assessment on you. Is that all right?
I don't have any toes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
All right. I'm just going to ask you a few questions that we ask everyone who comes to the hospital. These questions are to see if he's oriented times four. This means, does he know who he is, the place, the time, and the situation? Can you tell me your full name?
Bill Baxter.
And your date of birth?
1/1/1942.
Great. And I'm checking his wristband as he tells me this, just to make sure I have the correct patient and that he actually knows who he is. What month is it?
September.
Do you know where we are?
In the hospital.
Why are you in the hospital?
I hurt myself.
Are you in any pain right now?
Not currently.
All right, that's good. Now, you generally want to work your way down the body from the head to the toes, but there's no set in stone way that you have to do your physical assessment. If your school has a checklist it uses, then I definitely go by that. But if you find that you need to tweak it a little, then just go for it. Do what feels best for you. I'm going to walk you through what I like to do. I'm going to start the physical part of the assessment now. If you feel any pain, just let me know, okay?
Okay, thank you.
So next, I get out my pen light. I'm going to take a look at your eyes. Just look at the tip of my nose. Do you wear glasses?
No, I do not.
Then I actually look at his eyes before I even turn the pen light on. I'm looking at the sclera, which are the whites of his eyes. I'm looking for any redness or yellowness. Any drainage or cloudiness in his eyes. I'm looking to see if the pupils are the same size. Then I'm going to use my pen light to check for PERLA. That's an acronym that stands for pupils are equal, round, reactive to light, and accommodation. So I'm holding the pen light a little off to the side and shining it at an angle into his eye. Both his pupils responded or getting smaller. And I do the same thing to the other eye. Now, to check for accommodation, I'll have him look off into the distance and then quickly adjust his eyes to something close. Can you look at the top of the wall?
Sure.
Great. Now look at the tip of my pen. His pupils show good accommodation. And open your mouth for me. Now I'm using my pen light to look at his teeth and the sides of his mouth. I'm looking for any obvious signs of tooth decay or sores on the mouth. Great. Say ah again.
Ah.
Okay, I just saw the uvula, which is the dangly piece that hangs in the back of the throat, move up. It should move straight up midline without deviating to one side or the other, which it did. If it didn't, that could be a sign of a neurologic problem. All right, tilt your head back. I'm just going to take a look at your nose. And I'm shining a light into his nostrils, checking for any discharge, and I'm checking the patency, which just means, are the nostrils open? I'm going to take a look at your ears. Can you look to the left? Great. I'm looking into his ears with my pen light, looking for any drainage or sores on or behind his ears. Do you wear a hearing aid?
What?
Do you wear a hearing aid?
No, I don't.
All right. And look the other way. I put my pen light back in my pocket when I'm done because I am done using the pen light now. I'm going to look at your head. Now I'm gently feeling around his head, looking for any lice or sores. Have you had any pain or issues with your head, neck, or ears?
No.
Great. I'm going to listen to your heart, lungs, and belly now. I'm going to start with your heart sounds, so just breathe normally. I put my stethoscope on and pull his gown to the side while still maintaining his privacy the best that I can. I need to get my stethoscope on his bare skin in order to really hear what's going on. While I'm working on the chest area, I quickly just pinch under his collarbone. I'm doing that to do a Turgor test to make sure he's not dehydrated. And his skin bounced back quickly, so I know he's hydrated. I'm going to listen for heart sounds in four spots, over the aortic valve, the pulmonic valve, the tricuspid valve, and the mitral valve. A good way to remember this is with the mnemonic, all patients take medicine. All is for aortic, patients for pulmonic, take for tricuspid, and medicine for mitral. All patients take medicine. And remember, I'm using which side of the stethoscope to listen for normal heart sounds? That's right, the diaphragm. Now I'm going to listen to your lung sounds. Take a deep breath when you feel my scope. I'm listening to 10 spots on his anterior side. And it's kind of hard for me to describe where I'm putting the scope, but I'll post some pictures on the website, nursingschoolweekbyweek.com, and you can go there to see exactly where I'm placing the scope, on his front and then on his back. All right, if you can lean forward for me, I'm going to listen to your lung sounds in the back. Take a deep breath when you feel my scope. I'm listening to his breath sounds in 8 different spots on his back. Some abnormal breath sounds that I'm listening for are crackles, which sound like this. A wheeze, which sounds like this. Or a strider, which sounds like this. All right, you can sit back again. I'm going to listen to your belly. I'm placing my stethoscope in each of the 4 quadrants on his abdomen and listening until I hear a gurgling sound. If I hear 5 to 30 sounds within a minute, I can report that his bowel sounds are normoactive. Anything less than 5 sounds in a minute would be hypoactive, and more than 30 sounds in a minute would be hyperactive. If I didn't hear any sounds, I'd have to listen for a full 5 minutes in each quadrant before I could report that the bowel sounds are absent. And I really hope that doesn't happen because that would be really awkward just to be down there with my stethoscope for 20 minutes. I take my stethoscope off now because I'm done with it. All right, I'm going to palpate your belly. Do you feel any pain?
Yes, that hurts.
Oh, it hurts right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how would you rate your pain on a scale from 0 to 10?
It's an 8.
Oh, okay. All right, now I'm going to assess his arms and his hands. I cross my arms and hold out 2 fingers on each hand. Can you squeeze my fingers? Now pull me towards you. Oh. Sometimes you may get a patient who thinks he's funny when he tries to pull you down on top of him. And this is why you cross your arms first to make it easier to break the hold quickly if you need to. All right, I'm going to look at your fingernails. I'm looking for any discoloration of the nails. And I take this time to squeeze the thumbnails to check the capillary refill time. The nails will turn white when I squeeze them, but they should return to their normal color within 3 seconds. And I'm going to check your pulse. I'm feeling his radial pulse bilaterally. That means I'm feeling it on both wrists at the same time. It feels regular and 2+, which is normal. Can you hold your arms out to the side?
Yes.
And straight up. Now I'm assessing his range of motion. Any pain when you do those movements?
No, but my belly hurts.
All right, we'll have someone take a look at that. And I'm going to look at your feet. If he had socks on, I would take them off. I'm checking his pedal pulse bilaterally, both feet at the same time. I'm also squeezing his big toes to check for capillary refill, just like I did on his thumbs. Can you lift your right leg up to my hand?
Mm-hmm.
And your left.
There you go.
And can you bend both legs?
Yep.
Great. And now just turn away from me.
Okay.
I'm just going to take a look at your skin. The sacral area on the tailbone is a common spot to see pressure ulcers, so I'm just checking for any skin breakdown in that area. All right. And one last question. Have you had any pain or burning during urination?
Not since Vietnam.
All right. Well, that's all I need right now. Is there anything I can get for you now?
No, thank you. Just my belly hurts.
All right, I'll have the doctor come take a look at that. Here's your call light. Let me know if you need anything. All right, so that's how I do my head-to-toe physical assessment. Real quick, I have one more quiz question for you. When assessing the pupils, what does the A in the acronym PERLA stand for? Remember, that's PERLA, P-E-R-R-L-A. Does the A in PERLA stand for A, active, B, absent, C, accommodation, or D, appropriate? Once again, when assessing the pupils, what does the A in the acronym PERLA stand for? A, active, B, absent, C, accommodation, or D, appropriate? If you answered C, accommodation, then you are correct. Remember, this is when you have the patient look at something in the distance and then quickly look at something close, like the tip of your pen. Okay, I hope this podcast helped give you an idea of what a physical assessment looks like. If you found this helpful, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, just so I know you guys are out there and listening. All right, have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you.